Well, good morning, Texas. This is Mike Paulson from North Dakota. This is still nighttime when I'm making this recording. It's 6 below 0 right now for us, but I see it's 34 degrees for you Texans, and I'll bet you're cold down there. I bet that's some cold weather for you. But I've got my little amp going here, so I'm toasty warm. So let's just get going into this thing. Program number 116, and we're going to look at one that I find is very comforting, and that is the word comfort. You're comforted as a Christian. And we have so many things going on in our nation right now. We have so many things going on in religion right now. We have so many things going on in our personal families and lives and our jobs. Very stressful things these days. But if you look back at history, you know, we still have it very comfortable in so many ways. I know a lot of people don't. I know there's issues out there. I hear from folks, and I know that it's very tough for so many people. And we've got the Christmas season coming up, and that's a real sad time for most people because you're just going to go into more debt, and you wrestle with people, do you or do you not have a tree? Do you do the Christmas carols? Do you not do the Christmas carols? Do you believe in Christmas for Jesus? Do you do the Santa Claus? I mean, stress just gets going more and more and more. And among Christians, and we're the ones that are supposed to be comforted during all these things. We're supposed to be the ones that have the peace that passeth all understanding. We're supposed to be the ones that understand what's going on in this world. We're supposed to be the ones that don't have that stress factor, no matter what's going on. Now, I've been in the stress factor. I've got my things, and I've seen things, so I'm not one to talk. But all of us should be able to be comforted. And I'll explain to you why tonight. I'm sorry. I'll explain to you why this morning. Now, I used the word comfortable. And by the way, how do you define a word in the King James Bible? It's very simple. The way it's first used in that Bible usually has the definition within that verse itself. Now, here's an illustration. Here's what I mean. The word comfortable. See, we're going to talk about comfort. So I did a word. We're going to do a word study on the word comfort. And what about the word comfortable? Are we comfortable today? Well, we've pretty much taken that word comfortable away from what it truly meant and made it such a manner that we're happy in where we sit. We're happy with our situation, whatever. So we're comfortable. You're comfortable financially. You're comfortable health-wise. You're comfortable with your job or whatever. You know, and that's just taking the word comfort and just giving it some worldly definition here. Let's just go to the King James Bible, 2 Samuel chapter 14, verse 17. Then thine handmaid said, the word of my lord, the king, shall now be comfortable. So there's that word comfortable. And then it goes on and defines it with the word for, that's preposition there. The word of my lord, the king, shall now be comfortable. For as an angel of God, so is my lord, the king, to discern good and bad. So if you're comfortable, you're able to discern good and bad. Well, now just think about it. Where's your comfort zone? Where's your comfortability? When you understand, you can discern between what is good and what is bad. And you just got to think about that for a couple of minutes for that to soak in. That is being very comfortable. So let's move on to the word comfort. Well, when you talk about being comforted, you talk about comfort. I think most people, if they got any scriptures in them at all, any kind of Bible teaching or Bible training at all, or if their pastors are going to preach about it, they're going to go to John chapter 14. This is where they go for comfort, because the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. And I'm not denying these chapters. And I'll show you what I mean. You just listen to me this morning, and you'll see where today's comfort really lies. Yes, it is the Spirit of God. Yes, He is a comforter, but not in a way most people think, and not in a way just about all pastors preach. We're going to go to John chapter 14, and we go to verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, right there, just remember that verse. If you love me, keep my commandments. So if you don't keep his commandments, you don't love him. If you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Capital C, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Okay, so now we have Christians today who think that because they've got the Spirit of God in them, they are automatically comforted by the Spirit that's in them. Well, here you go. How do you know that the Spirit you have in you is the Spirit of God? It isn't the devil's spirit. It isn't the devil himself. It isn't your flesh. It isn't your feelings. It isn't your emotions. How do you know that? And you can't give me a reason how do you know that other than the scriptural reason. And most folks that are listening haven't written to me, so most folks that are listening to me don't believe what I'm saying. And I'll show you here. We're going to go to the scriptures. We're doing a word study on the word comfort. This is how you find out. Very simple way to study your Bible. Take the word comfort, type it into your concordance online, much easier that way, and then you separate the verses that Paul writes about with the verses the Gospels write about and the verses in the tribulation books, Hebrews to Jude, and you can see differences. So this being the dispensation of grace, we're going to look to Paul's words here in a few minutes about where comfort really lies today. We're going to go to John chapter 15 and 16 to show you the foundation of the Comforter. But to answer that question, how do you know if you're being comforted by the Spirit of God or by your feelings or by the devil or by your flesh or whatever? I'll show you that. He says in verse 18, so this is a great promise. He says, you know, he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. That's a good promise. Jesus says, I will not leave you comfortless, because he's leaving, right? I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Now listen to this verse. This is part of it. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Okay, question today is, how does this Savior, how does this Jesus manifest himself to us today? Now remember, he's risen. How does the risen Christ manifest himself to us today? 300, 400 different Bible versions? Different denominations? What you think to be his manifestation, are you sure? Anyway, Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Well, there's a good question. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. So he's still there with them talking about this whole Comforter thing. He says in verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Those are the great verses about being comforted. Okay, now we go to chapter 16 and verse 13. It says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, which, by the way, is for the Pentecostals who think that the Spirit of God is getting all the glory, and you praise the word, you praise the Spirit, and you talk to the Spirit, and all this kind of stuff. That's not scriptural, because it says he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, not the Spirit. God is not glorified; Jesus is glorified, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Okay, so that looks to me like we get the Spirit of God, and he comes into us, and there's our comfort, because he will comfort us. Well, what if you don't obey his commandments? What if you don't keep his word? Do you no longer have the Spirit of God? It says in 1 John chapter 3 that you're not even born of God anymore if you do any kind of a sin. So what are we looking at here? Well, we're looking at the simple truth that, yes, the Spirit of God does come into us. Now remember, bunny trail here, the Spirit of God will be put upon all flesh during the tribulation, because they'll have to walk the law. Okay, so the Spirit of God will be upon their flesh. We have the Spirit of God in us. And when Jesus, he was going to leave, obviously we know that was all about, and he was going to leave them with the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. And that's where the comfort's going to come. He will guide those people unto all truth. Well, for some reason, it seems like the Spirit of God today is not guiding most people to the truth. Well, what's the truth? Thy word is truth in John chapter 16. Well, okay, that makes sense. What is thy word? Well, whatever Jesus tells you on the inside, your heart, your feelings, your thoughts, is that where you get the truth from? Is that where the Spirit of God guides you into truth? Where is thy word? Where are the wholesome words of Jesus Christ, as Paul calls them in 1 Timothy chapter 6? Well, it's the King James Bible. I know. We're not going to go through that again tonight. I'm sorry, this morning. But we are going to go into Paul's books, and we're going to just do a simple little word study on the word comfort. We look at the word comfort. Well, let's define the word comfort. To strengthen, to invigorate, to cheer or enliven. To strengthen the mind when depressed or enfeebled. To console, to give new vigor to the spirits, to cheer, to relieve from depression or trouble. Relief from pain, ease, rest or moderate pleasure after pain, cold or distress or uneasiness of body. The word signifies properly new strength or animation, and relief from pain is often the effect of strength. Now that's a physical comfort. Can you be physically comforted by the Spirit of God? Sure you can. I'll show you why this morning. Let's keep going here. In a popular sense, the word comfort signifies rather negatively the absence of pain and the consequent quiet than positive animation. Relief from distress of mind, the ease and quiet which is experienced when pain, trouble, agitation, or affliction ceases. It implies also some degree of positive animation of the spirits, or some pleasurable sensations derived from hope and agreeable prospects, consolation, support, consolation under calamity, distress, or danger, that which gives strength or support in distress, difficulty, danger, or infirmity. You know, an 1828 dictionary gives you the depth of definitions, as you could read through that definitions there of word comfort, and you can get way beyond the pretty simple little plain wishy-washy comforting that we want today. You know, we just want to be comfortable with our money, using the modern definition of comfortable. Do you want to know the difference? Do you want to be able to discern between good and bad? If you can, that'll give you comfortableness. There's a word for you. Let's see what we got here for comfort. Well, we know that God is the God of all comfort. Well, how do we know that? Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. So if we want comfort, it's got to come from God. There's no doubt about that. There's a verse in Corinthians again, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. Finally, brethren, be perfect. Not errorless, it just means be complete, be finished. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Well, how do you live in peace? How do you have the God of love and peace? How do you have him with you? Well, quick little bunny trail here. I think I'm going to show you something here. It's in Philippians chapter 4, where Paul says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So how do you have this God of comfort? Well, you follow Paul. You don't imitate Paul, you follow Paul. How did you get that from that? Very simple. Finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love, not the love of God, but the God of love and peace shall be with you. And how do you get the God of peace, according to Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verse 9? Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, as Paul, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So if you look into Paul for your apostle, you'll be able to find the God of peace, the God of comfort. Oh, you come on. No, I'm serious. And I'll show you some more verses. I'll show you what I mean. Here we go. Romans chapter 1, verse 12. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Well, what is that talking about? It's talking about exactly what it says. I may be comforted, that's Paul, together with you. Here's a case where Paul, the pastor, the teacher, is comforted with his people. Comforted together with you. By what? By the mutual faith, both of you and me. So when Paul and his people have this mutual faith, there's comfort there for these people, including Paul. I remember what it was like to have mutual faith with my congregation, and there was comfort there. And yet when there's stress, the comfort goes away. Same thing with you at work. Same thing with you and your family. Are you comforted together by mutual faith within your house? Not many people are anymore. And there's a lack of comfort there. Now, Romans 15:4, let's look at this source of comfort. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. We have comfort by mutual faith within our home, within our congregation as such. And here we see we have comfort of the Scriptures. We're getting comfort from our Scriptures. But he that prophesieth, that's preaching, preaching the Word of God, teaching the Word of God. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. You should be able to get comfort from a preaching message, from a teaching message, from a Bible study. Edification, that's teaching, that's learning. Exhortation, that's teaching and preaching about a subject and exhorting, trying to get people to respond, trying to stir them up. And comfort. Now, I see most pastors today, they're big in the comfort zone. They want you to be comforted. But they comfort you with flattery. They comfort you with good words and fair speeches. And I'll show you, very surprising, might not do it this morning, but I'll show you two people that do not give people comfort today. And they should. They're supposed to. It's not that they don't want to give you comfort. You don't allow them to give you comfort. Well, who would that be? Save that for later on in the program, or maybe till tomorrow. Here's another one. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 31. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. We're seeing some scriptures here where they're preaching. Not only should it edify, not only should there be exhortation there, but there should be comfort. Your Bible studies, my messages, my sermons, call them what you want, my talks, should be comforting as well. And again, can something tough be comforting? Oh, sure. We'll talk about that soon. We see in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. So we all have our troubles, right? 2 Corinthians 1, 4, the Lord, he comforteth us in all our tribulation. Well, why would he do that? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So when you go through your tribulation, you go through your financial problems, you go through your health issues, you go through the loss of a child, loss of a spouse, loss of a job, who better to talk with than somebody who has been through that as well? So this verse is a fabulous verse to help us be of comfort to somebody else. But I've noticed something over these years. Have you noticed that when somebody tells you some little experience, some little difficulty they've had in life, and the first thing that you say is you tell them when you did the same thing? You don't say how you got your victory. You just want them to know, I've been through the same thing, and then you tell them the story. I don't find that comforting to that other person. Somebody tells you a problem, and then you tell them, oh, I've got the same problem, only bigger. I hear that a lot. You try to tell somebody something, and they come back with a bigger and better story. I don't find that personal. I don't find that comforting. Think about that. When somebody tells you something, are you a listener? Are you there because you understand what they're going through? Or do you just want to pridefully boast, well, I've had the same problem you had, only mine was bigger? You just listen to yourself during conversations. You might be surprised how many times somebody comes to you with a comment about something difficult in their life, something they've done, some challenge, and you're going to come back with a bigger and better challenge because you're not listening. You're not thinking about that person. You're thinking about you. That's just my mini sermon for this morning here. We're getting back here. So he comforts us in our tribulation. Why? So that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Well, how do you get your comfort of God? Well, that's what I'm showing you here. Mutual faith, scriptures, preaching that edifies, exhorts, and comforts you. Okay? Prophesying, again, that's preaching and teaching, that you may be comforted. Well, let's keep going here. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 4. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. This is Paul. He can be bold, not loud, not in a riotous manner. Riotous, not righteous, but in a riotous manner. But he is bold. And you can say things bold without having to yell and scream. Pastors, by the way. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorifying of you. Why? What's going on? He says, I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. Boy, Paul was comforted during his tribulation. And what he's saying here is my glorying of you. His people were giving him the comfort. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 6, are you ready for this? Here we go. 2 Corinthians 7, 6, nevertheless, God, that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Really, verse 7, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, that was Paul, so that I rejoiced the more. Here's this guy, Titus. Now, have you read the book of Titus at all? Especially in a King James Bible? Titus is quite the book. Titus chapter 2 starts right off with sound doctrine. And he starts right off with that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Then he goes to the aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Then the young women, that these aged women teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Ladies, it says here, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed, which tells me that if the ladies aren't obedient to their husbands, then you're blaspheming the word of God. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. Now, do you find these words comforting? In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants, here's the people at work, to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, that's stealing, not but showing all good fidelity. Are these words comforting to you? Aged men, aged women, young people at work, you have a boss. Ladies, you're supposed to, says here, keepers at home. Timothy says in chapter 5, by the way, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. These are some tough verses in here. 1 Timothy chapter 2, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. Shamefacedness is beyond the line that people draw for whether there should be shamed or not. Not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Wow. Then you get into chapter 2 about a pastor. A bishop must then be blameless, the husband of one wife. Does that mean that he can't be married? Everybody talks about that's a divorce issue. No, could that possibly say that you can't be single and be a pastor? What do you know about counseling married women if you're single? So then you have to be married. You can't be single to be a pastor. How many single pastors out there? Who are you to preach to the husbands and wives and the families? See? Do you get comfort out of reading Titus? Well, it says right here, nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. Really? Yeah. Titus is going to show up. He says in verse 13, therefore we are comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit is refreshed by you all. So here's this Titus guy, and he shows up, and the people are comforted, and Titus is comforted because the people are doing what he taught as Titus. So that's just with Titus. I'll show you some more verses tomorrow. You know, you're supposed to be just as comforted with Timothy. And you're supposed to be just as comforted with Paul. That's the bottom line. And I'll give you the verses to show you that tomorrow. So here we are this morning. We're talking about being comforted. And we realize that we get the Spirit of God in us. We know that. But we have to go beyond that. We have to know that that Spirit of God is going to guide us into the truth. And that's the King James Bible. And we get comfort from what Paul writes about the risen Savior, that the Spirit of God is guiding us by rightly dividing this King James Bible, so we know when the Spirit of God is teaching to us or teaching for us other things in that Bible. And the coming of Titus and Paul and Timothy are to give us comfort. So I would suggest if you want to test yourself, well, sit down and read Timothy and Titus and see if you're comforted. See if you're trying to do those things that Timothy and Titus are teaching to us from the risen Savior by Paul being their apostle, then if you're trying to do those things, you're comforted because you realize, I'm trying to do the right thing here. And you get comforted from that. So sit down tomorrow or later today and read Timothy and Titus and check your comfort level. And we will finish this comfort program tomorrow morning with about 7 or 8 more verses to talk about Timothy and Paul. I'm going to show you where you can get your comfort today, folks. With all these things going on, you don't get your comfort from your own feelings. The Spirit of God is not going to teach you through your feelings and your music. And music can comfort you, but it's a temporary comfortness. Rhythm doesn't comfort you. Harmony can comfort you, and melody can comfort you. But today's music is all rhythm-oriented. There's no comfort in today's Christian music. In fact, even the term Christian music, I don't believe is a legitimate term. Christian music. What makes Christian music? What makes music Christian? Is it the words? Is it a doctrine? Where do you get your comfort from? The arrangement, the music, the singers, the rhythm, the beat? Well, I tell you, we have mixed up Christianity. We've got mixed up Christians today. They're not getting the comfort where they need to get it from. And as things are getting tougher in this nation, you're going to find out that you're not very comforted. And are you comfortable? Can you discern between good and evil? Doesn't seem like it. Not these days. Well, we will do more tomorrow.